You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Number 4, and it will not be the last one. I thought last week it would be, but we'll go until the Lord says we've said enough on it. If you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 10. We're going to read a passage there. I'd like you to follow along. And then we're going to read John 16, a short passage there. So John chapter 10, starting in verse 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 10, verse 1, this is number 4 of We Have Been Warned. Jesus said this, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. Well, they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go out in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Verse 1 of chapter 16 in John, Jesus has been saying some things on his last evening together with his apostles, warning them about some things. He said in verse 1, These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. That doesn't mean insulted. That doesn't mean somebody says something, you didn't like it, so you put up your guard. That's not what the word offended means in the Greek. In the Greek, the word means trapped. I tell you these things so you'll not be trapped. It means enticed to sin. It means tripped up and ultimately to fall away from the faith. Jesus said, these things I've spoken unto you, all these things I've taught you, especially about the last days, that you should not be trapped, enticed to sin, tripped up, and ultimately to fall away. That's what that means. They shall put you out of the synagogues, or in our case, the churches. Yea, or I should say denominations even. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you. These things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. We have been told, haven't we? I wonder, especially we older ones, although it can happen at any age. Have you ever been scammed out of something of value? Usually your money. But it could be other things like a piece of property, your home. With all the foreclosures and people in default around this country, there's unscrupulous people that have started little false companies, and they promise to help people get out of their trouble, and they sign their deed over to them after some kind of a tricky dialogue or something, and they end up losing their property and get kicked out anyway. Usually we lose our money, but it could be things like property. It could be your jewelry. It could be you were taken advantage of by an auto mechanic. By the way, I have a very good one. So if you need a good, reliable auto mechanic, talk to me. Maybe it's a computer guy. You know, it's like a computer's like a car. You take it to somebody that knows all about them. You don't know anything about them. And I speak of myself, too, anymore. And they give you a whole list of things that need to be done and need to be fixed, need to be taken off, need to be put on. And you don't know. And you don't even know if they've done it or not when they hand it back to you with a big repair bill. Maybe you've been scammed. You can get scammed in a lot of ways. Strangers can do it. Unethical salespeople can do it. Acquaintances will even do it to you. Acquaintances, you know, they're not friends, but they're not strangers either. You know them in some way. Even friends and relatives can scam you if they are greedy and heartless enough. It usually happens when you need something, a service or something like that, or when somebody else desperately needs something you have. Or someone is offering you some deal that is too good to be true. How many of you know by now, if it's too good to be true, 9 times out of 10, it's too good to be true. There's a particular item I've been looking for several months now, and I check Craigslist regularly for this item. 4 separate times I have responded to an ad for this particular item, and 4 separate times, by the grace of God, I've discovered it's been a scam. People will do anything to get your money. If something's too good to be true, you probably ought to turn your back and walk away from it. You get taken for a ride, as they say. You get ripped off. You get duped. But the end result is always the same. You fell for something that was an outright deception. There was no truth to it at all. Your hope that it was true was so great, you went along with it. You even signed the check or gave me your credit card number and the security code on the back, and the rest is history and payments. Once you figure it out that you've been scammed, you go through several emotions because of it. I know, I speak from experience. I've been scammed many times in my life. First, you're mad. You're angry at that guy. Boy, if you could get him right here in front of you, you'd give him the what for, and there'd be nothing left. You have this feeling of being violated at some level. You might even be embarrassed because you told other people about this deal and then it blew up on you and they're saying, hey, how'd that thing go? Oh, man, I got taken for a ride there. That's embarrassing. And ultimately, at least if you're like me, you get mad at yourself for not being more diligent, not paying attention, not... You know, it's that you're something in the back of your head saying, no, this, don't do this, and you did it anyway. So you're mad at yourself, most of all, that you let it happen. But after it's all said and done, you are much wiser than you used to be. Huh? Yeah. But being scammed by the devil is a far more serious thing in these days and one which we need to be on high alert against. You see, you get your money taken away, your property taken away, no big deal there. But if he tricks you out of your faith in God, that can be deadly regarding your eternity. We got to be careful against the devil's scams. And they're really going to go into high gear one day soon. That's what we've been talking about. The Lord Jesus has given us warning in no uncertain terms that a master thief was coming in the late hours of this last age to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus warned us that Satan would be successful in deceiving or killing many that profess to be Christians in these last days. That means there's a great threat against you if you profess to be a Christian. We are to be spiritually vigilant and on guard against being scammed by the very best scam artist that eternity has ever known. The devil and those that he has inspired and trained to send our way. We may not be able to escape being killed for our faith. But we are responsible to recognize his lies and deceptions, which, if fallen for, could cause us to believe another gospel. And Paul said there is no other gospel. If we're not careful, we may believe another gospel. We may believe in a different Savior, or entice us to give up on our faith in Jesus, if we're not careful. You and I. How do we recognize a damnable lie? How do we recognize a hellish deception or a false miracle, a false sign, or a false wonder? You got to come back next week for that answer. But let me press on. How do we recognize these things? I'll give you a general overview today. And there's nothing new in what I'm saying. It's been the theme of our messages for more than a year now. God has provided us all the guidance that we need to avoid being scammed if we will be no stranger to these three areas. Number one, His written word. If you don't know the word, you're a big target. You're going to be easily deceived, lied to, and scammed. And by the way, you need a King James Version. If you don't have a King James Version Bible now, whether you're going to use it or not, I encourage you, get one while they can be gotten. And it's getting harder than ever, whether you know that or not, it's getting harder than ever to find King James Version Bibles because they're simply being done away with. The devil doesn't want us to have King James Versions. And nobody that serves him wants us to use that Bible because it is the Word of God. It's okay for now for you to have those other things, but people don't want you to have the King James. So I recommend, if you do not own a personally own your own copy of a King James Version Bible, you don't have to spend 50, 60, 80 bucks for them. You can buy them for 99 cents if you that's all you can afford. But you can get them for 10, 15, 20 bucks, a decent Bible that'll last you a few years, and that's about all that's left. I encourage you, you need a King James Version Bible because it is the Word of God. If you start quoting the Message to demon-possessed people, if you start quoting the New Living Translation or Living Bible or Revised Standard Version or any of these other things to demon-possessed people, they're going to laugh at you. But when you approach them with the King James Word of God, they will pay attention. You need a King James Version Bible. Nothing more be said on that for today. I said there's three areas that God has provided us to avoid being scammed. Number one is His written word. Number two is the fullness of the indwelling Holy Spirit. You need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and you need to stay full of the Spirit. And number three, we need believers that are more mature than we are for fellowship, for prayer, and for counsel. Brother, what about this? What did you think of that? Should we be concerned about this or this? Or is this something we should have something to do with? We need each other, dear ones. The guidance that God gives us is through His written word and His Holy Spirit primarily, but we also need the church, the true church, regular fellowship, to avoid the counterfeit, the scam. A bank teller cannot possibly know all the ways in which to recognize counterfeit money. And yet they quickly recognize funny money when they examine it or hold it in their hand and feel it. How, you ask? They have been trained on, they have studied, and they have handled the real item a lot. So often that he or she quickly sees or feels the phony money when it is handed to him or her. That is a fact. I used to work for a bank. It's like Jesus said in John 10, "My sheep recognize the stranger's voice." Why? Because of these three things. It is the same with you and me when we're handed the devil's counterfeit. Whether it's some kind of an offer he makes to us through his proxies, or it's that voice that tries to imitate the Holy Spirit, giving you a warning or advice or some kind of words into your heart that would cause you to go astray, even just a little bit. It is the same with you and me when we're handed the devil's counterfeit. If you will spend enough time handling the truth of God's Word and know His still small voice, that's what we were singing about this morning in that new song called Still. The still small voice. I've always found it amazing as I look back over Christian experience and the way the devil does things versus the way God does things. The devil shouts at you. Rah! I mean, even the Bible says he's a roaring lion. He shouts at our young people through the music, through the movies. Everything the devil tries to do, he shouts it. Whenever God has anything to say, it's ever so quiet. You have to be listening. You have to want to hear His voice. Because God speaks to you in a whisper. Moses found that out, didn't he? He wasn't in the lightning. He wasn't in the thunder. He wasn't in the earthquake. It was a still, small voice. If you'll spend enough time handling the truth of God's Word and know His still, small voice when He speaks, you will quickly recognize error when it presents itself to you to lead you away from God. You will. I told you a story 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to repeat it. But that voice spoke to me such doubt that for just a split second, maybe it was a second or two, but it wasn't any more than 2 or 3 seconds, I actually evaluated what it said to me, and it caused just a fraction of a moment's doubt in my heart about God till I quickly recognized that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That wasn't even me. That was the devil trying to cast something into my heart to make me doubt God. But if you're not trained or on the way to being trained, those things slip in. They do their damage. Oh, God, help us. If you'll spend enough time handling the truth of God's word and know His still small voice when He speaks, you will quickly recognize error when it presents itself to lead you away from God. Now, being in fellowship with strong believers, those that read, study, memorize, exhort, pray, and speak often God's word, also provides being in fellowship with strong believers also provides an important level of protection for you too. You ever seen a circus? Never been to one in my life. For some reason, I don't like circuses. Never have, even as a tot. Maybe they were like clowns to me. I don't know. Some people are terrified of clowns. Now, I'm not afraid of clowns, but I've never liked a circus. Never been to one. But you know, at a circus, they got these people flying around up on a trapeze. Most of the time, they have a safety net. Lord knows I wouldn't be up on a swing without one. Flying through the air upside down, backwards, forwards, and every other way possible. Hoping that the guy on the other side's at the right place at the right time with his hands out and strong enough and, you know, he doesn't burp at the last minute, lose concentration. Be the last thing I hear. Brrr. Thud. They've got a safety net. If all else fails, to catch them and preserve their life. Being in fellowship with brothers and sisters of like mind that love God, love His Word, that regularly pray and read and fellowship together provides an important level of protection for you. It might well be accurate to say that the first professors of faith in Jesus to fall away because of lies and deceptions in the months and few years to come are those that shun genuine Christian fellowship and the corporate gatherings of the church. Did you hear that? It might be safe to say the first people to walk away from Jesus, the first people to turn their back on their faith, the first people to believe the lies and the false wonders and false signs and the deceptions are those that have professed faith in Jesus, but their church is on the television set. They never go to church. They don't like the church. They don't like this pastor. They don't like that group. They, you know, they got all these reasons not to go to church. Now, there are a bunch of churches out there that aren't worth a bunch of hooey. But it's up to you to find one that is. And be there. Because I think the first ones that are going to fall are those that don't bother to meet with the brothers and sisters. There is special grace given by God when the church family meets. There are special things that you receive when you come and meet with a church family that loves God that you don't get any other way. You do not get grace that comes that we get in our church meetings. Believers not in close fellowship with other brothers and sisters will not have the safety net that such fellowship can provide, and they are sure not going to be warned off of this deception or that false wonder by their favorite televangelier. Brother Jim will like that one. The Holy Spirit made it so that believers need the Word. The Holy Spirit made it so that we need His indwelling and fullness. And the Holy Spirit made it so that we need each other. And in that order. One day I'll explain why having the King James Version Bible in your possession and studying it is even first place over the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Though we all have the Holy Spirit if you're born again. Having the Holy Spirit from being born again and having the Holy Spirit because you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit are two different states of living before God. Do you want to recognize those things that Jesus warned us away from? You for yourself must be a faithful student of the Word of God. You must be used to talking to and hearing from the Lord. That's called prayer. And as often as possible, gather with the saints of God for worship, instruction, warning, and encouragement. You must learn for yourself what the truth of God's Word sounds like, feels like, and looks like in your heart so that the lies of the devil become self-apparent. Just like the teller being handed counterfeit money. They've maybe never seen counterfeit money, felt counterfeit money before in their life, but if they've been trained properly on the real stuff, they automatically recognize the phony when they get it. Learn by experience what the inner voice of God sounds like. And all other counterfeit voices will be easy to discern and reject. Hear what God has to say to the church weekly through the brothers and sisters that are well founded in these two areas. Full of the Spirit and know the Word. I'm very proud of how we've begun to develop in recent months. Not only do some of you now come and share the Word when we open our meeting, but you look at me and say, can I say something? Absolutely! You don't have to. But when you've got something to share, we want you to share it. Our Wednesday night meetings, that's more about you sharing than it is about me talking. I'd just be delighted when Wednesday night meeting, Brother Noel has something to share, and Sister Diane has something to share, and you know, anybody else you've got, and it's good. You need to hear what God has to say to the church weekly through brothers and sisters that are well-founded in these areas, and you will not leave the meeting uninformed about what's on God's mind for you, as well as the latest dangers to our faith in these last days that have arisen. Now, let me show you just quickly some things about what the Bible says about us meeting as a church. It is important. It is God's will that we meet as a church regularly. You be faithful to a church family regularly. Of course, the easiest one is found in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. Paul writes, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Do not forsake the meetings of the church. If you can't be there for one reason or another, that's one thing. But to just lay in bed or watch your favorite series, whatever, you're sinning. You're violating the Word of God. When you can be here or wherever your church meets, if you're not from here or others listening, if you can be with the church, be with the church. Especially as these days unfold before us. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Oh, they even had them back then, huh? but exhorting one another. And so much more, the more as you see the day approaching. Now that was written 1900 years ago or so. We're living in that day and it's coming down fast. We need to be together to encourage one another. Hebrews 13, three chapters later, verse 15. He, again, in an indirect way, lets you know that those spiritually over you, those mature, those given gifts or talents or abilities or appointed as elders in the church, they look out for your soul. But if you're not there, they can't look out for you. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually by Jesus, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable to you. There we see that God places people over our lives for our good. We need to do the things that they teach us out of the Word that they say to do. We need to walk in obedience to the Word. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Here is a church that's doing it right. And to the church of the angel of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, church. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. This is the good church. This is the one church he did not rebuke in any way. In fact, they had the crown already. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. You're humble. Not real strong. Thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. That does not say he will remove us. It just says he will keep us. I don't care whether he removes us or keeps us as long as the Lord's got his hand on us. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. This is the only church that already had their crown. That's what Jesus, he praises this church. This is the kind of things you want to be a part of. But let me show you the kind of thing you don't want to be a part of, which is probably 90% of the churches in the world. And I'm not saying in any way we're special. I'm just saying we're trusting the Word of God. But look at the church that is represented by most that are in the world today in verse 14 of chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. It's okay to be cold, which is refreshing. It's okay to be hot, which is full of zeal. The people in this church were neither. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Because thou sayest, I'm sorry, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, see if this isn't the church today in most churches that you, most churches, not all. I'm still appalled that we built a $10 million church here in this small town. And I understand, I've never been there, don't know, but I understand it has four coffee top shops. I just don't get that. I don't get that. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increase and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That kind of a church isn't going to do anything to help you, least alone warn you of the dangers and the deceptions and the signs and wonders that are the devil's doing. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Turn away from what you're doing, because what you're doing, I do not like. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, this is a great little verse when you're sharing the gospel with somebody, but that was not its intention. He is knocking at the door of the church. He's on the outside trying to get in. You don't know how many times Sabbath mornings I've come in here, and in the time that I'm praying before anybody else gets here, I open that door and say, Lord, this door is not closed. See, you come right in. In fact, if you don't come, you let me know you're not going to be here, and we'll cancel. We're not a social club. We're not a bless me club. We only want to be here if Jesus is going to be here. He said to this church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Meaning the church itself will not respond to him, but there might be individuals within that church doing these things that will say, oh, I repent, I repent, I repent. Jesus, come. Do a work in my life. Jude chapter 1, verse 17, I remind you, he says, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken of before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Some of the best advice in the whole Bible. There's a lot of other in the Bible, but that's some really good stuff. Now, as we start to wrap up today's study, I want to suggest a few things that could easily develop that are designed to deceive the populations of the world, including and especially the genuine Christian. Remember, the devil wants to draw you away from God. And if he can't do that, he wants to kill you. So these are just some things that, some deceptions, some lies, some things that are going to really influence a lot of people. Will all of these things happen? I don't know. Will some of these things happen? You can count on it. If I've thought of it, the devil's thought of it. And these are only a few things. If I give in some more time and thought, I could have come up with another list just as long, probably even more wowsy. You can count on this. Influential religious leaders begin having super miraculous signs and wonders meetings where thousands are healed, slain in the spirit, see angels right there in the meeting, and speak with new tongues. And these people themselves show forth an anointing to do the same, all in the name of God, though there is no mention of Jesus Christ. You say, but brother, the church was the source of all of those great things, and you're right, God still heals. We can receive the baptism and speak with new tongues. I do. You should too. I have an opinion about being slain in the spirit. Didn't always have it, but for much of it, I urge you to be careful of that. And even the devil can fill people with his spirits and they can speak in foreign tongues. They do it all the time in our churches. All the while they're standing and speaking in tongues over the congregation are actually placing curses over the congregation. And nobody has the Spirit of God in them to say, I renounce that in the name of Jesus, you sit down. None of these things are easy to counterfeit. And they will be used a lot to draw believers by the thousands to their meetings where they open themselves up and suddenly they don't realize it. They have a new spirit and it's not the Holy One. It's been happening in the last 5 and 10 years all over our country. Deceptions. Is this. You're promised a job or a better job if you'll agree to stop meeting with those other Christians. Oh, yeah. I mean, that happened in Nazi Germany. If they knew you were of a persuasion that they didn't approve of, you lost your job. Or you'd get to keep it if you were of the right heritage and stuff and you wouldn't have anything to do or become an informer. Don't you do that and call yourself a Christian. An influential political figure rises. I noticed Prince Charles was again in the news this week. He is the Antichrist. 100%, but I'm sure that he's on a very short list of men that very well could be. But his name showed up again on the news. He's telling Britons to snub the tub. Kind of dumb, I thought. But yeah, help the planet. Don't take as many baths. Yeah, Prince Charles is, you know, making a name for himself. He cares for the planet. Now, we should all be mindful of waste and recycling and those kind of things. I agree, but not to the degree that some of these movements are being ridiculous. An influential political leader rises, is assassinated, but comes back to life with even more supernatural power than even the Lord Jesus Christ displayed, and says that he is the world's Messiah. Representatives from the New World Order, have the power to heal all manner of sickness and disease. Just call your local government office. They'll send a representative right out to lay hands on you, to pray for you, and to heal you. Do you know that voodoo and witchcraft can do the same thing? In fact, there's been many so-called Christian meetings where people have been healed and, oh man, they jump up and down on the stage, they give their testimonies, they get on video, and 6 months later they're dead from that disease that they were healed of. It wasn't God. It was a different spirit. Representatives from the New Order have the power to heal all manner of sickness and disease and even death in some instances. Yep. The devil can feign death in somebody's body and then make it look like they've come back from the dead. He can counterfeit just about anything. A person shows up at your door during very hard times with promises to help your family if you'll just provide the names of those Jews and Christians, you know. It's happening in Europe right now. Anti-Semitism is its worst than some has ever seen. They hate Jews. Leave our country or else. A great drought and subsequent famine sweeps the earth. And to get water and some basic foodstuffs, you agree to take a temporary ID tattoo. Don't you go there. There are going to be so many ways to get people to take the mark or some precursor that becomes the mark. You be careful. You do without. If you got to, you go out and you start looking for manna in your backyard in the morning. You ask the Lord to send you a few birds. Go out and bang on that that water fountain has been dry and see if God don't send some water through it just for you. He can do that. A worldwide pandemic. I understand there's a new bug, superbug, they call it, a superbug coming out of India. This one is the worst they have ever seen as far as it invades an existing sickness, disease, or virus and makes the sickness, disease, or virus immune from whatever works on it right now. It's kind of like it puts a force field up around it, so your antibiotics, your chemo, your whatever treatment they give doesn't even affect that which is killing you. You keep an eye out for that one. In fact, the CDC this week has ordered that be monitored very closely. It went from India to England, I think, and then there was about four or five other countries that they've tracked it to. A worldwide pandemic that kills hundreds of millions arises, but has a 100% effective vaccine that is animal-based, that alters human DNA, makes you well and immune from this pandemic, but the DNA, the human DNA, becomes part animal. Now, you may snicker at that. You'd be surprised how often that's showing up now in the biology of what's being discussed and tried and tested. Why, they've even had, this is admitted, the H1N1 virus last year had pig genes in it. It's not so far-fetched to think that they would create something that they would then come along and offer you a vaccine that would turn your DNA to become part human, part animal. Now, wouldn't that be a form of the mark of the beast that we wouldn't have expected? Let me tell you, God can heal your body. You don't need some animal vaccine poked into your body to save your life. You just trust the Lord. Ask Him to heal you. Say, Lord, heal me. If you don't take me home, either way, it's fine with me. Don't want this other stuff. All Christian Bibles of all versions must be surrendered for the new, intercultural, interfaith, politically correct, and only legal to have New World Order version. How about this one? If you sign this form renouncing your Christian beliefs and practices, you will be given special place and privileges above most others. A lot of people are going to fall for that. Well, I'll just be a Christian and they won't know it. I'll just be quiet about my faith just so I can have this and have that and be respected when I, you know, go here and go there. John said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If you do, love of the Father's not in you. Thumb your nose at the world. A well-known religious personality announces that he had had a vision and that all professing Christians are to gather at pre-designated places in every major city for a meeting with the Lord Jesus himself. He authenticates his claim with undeniable signs and wonders. And Christians by the thousands flock to the different places that he has named. What did Jesus say? If they say he's in the desert, don't you go there. If he's in the mountains, don't you go there. The thousands will, and quite possibly will never be seen or heard from again. At the least, they'll have video cameras taking pictures of everybody coming and going so they know who you are when they're ready to come get you. Say, oh, come on, brother. You know they're doing that now at all the gun shows in the United States? You go to a gun show where you can buy weapons legally? without all the rigmarole that you do if you go down here to Big Five and try and buy a rifle. And it's been certified. Outside these gun shows are always vans with people taking pictures of everybody coming and going. They want to know who your gun owners are. Don't you think they'll do it for you, Christians? Oh, yeah. I want to get your mugshot somewhere where they can figure out what they can do when the time comes to come get you. And if you run off, they'll just put your picture up at the post office next to the top 10 wanted. We'll get you either way. And let me say this last, and we'll stop for the day. You've had a blessed life. Like Job. One day, all of it's destroyed. Will you curse God and die? Or will you bless God and die for your testimony? I ask you. These are just simple things. And they're going to be even more elaborate than that. The Department of Defense has means by which they can project stuff into the sky that looks real. Whether they're machines or people. They've been testing, I think it's called Project Bluebeam. I'm not sure of that. Well, they've been testing for years, holographic projections into the sky that make people think or cause people to think what they're seeing is real when it's really just a projection and it scares them or influences them or whatever. That's just one example of the kinds of technological things they're going to use to deceive people. One report is that they have been able to project into the sky a Messiah that for the Indians, he looks Indian. For the Russians, he looks Russian. For the Americans, he looks, well, I don't know how he'd look for the Americans because there's so many of us of different kinds. But people see what they want to see as their savior. That's technology. It's a lie. It's a scam. Whatever they are and however they impress you, a great many of the signs and wonders and miracles, a great many of the special favors and promises of a better life that are ahead will always, nearly always, be deceptions and delusions and lies, the very ones that Jesus warned could separate us from our faith in God. Next Sabbath we'll conclude, I think, this series as we look at ways to test the spirit of those events. The Bible says test the spirits. Next week we'll look at some ways to test the spirit of the event and what's going on and what's being said that lie ahead of us and better be prepared. Amen. Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come, will he find faith on the earth? That was a warning that a lot of people that had faith had turned their back on it. Let that not be any one of us, I pray. Amen. I never knew you. Oh, yeah. That's a complicated question to answer, and let me give you a short answer. Brother Jerry's saying these people that go to the Lord at that last time, maybe at death or something, and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and do that in your name? And the Lord says, I never knew you. Get away from me. The reason I say it's a little bit of a complicated answer in our thinking is because oftentimes the Lord will honor his word, not the messenger. Okay, and so the Catholic Church is performing exorcisms successfully. I've not looked into it of any great length, but the Lord is interested in saving souls. And if having a false prophet lay hands on you and you are miraculously healed by the power of God, it's because God loves you. He's not honoring that false prophet. Does that make sense? So there's going to be people that don't belong to God, that don't know any better or whatever, and it's just because God loves you so much and you had the faith to believe God, not this person, but God, that he heals you or saved you or filled you with his spirit. Now, there's going to be plenty of them out there that's going to be operating under false spirits, and that's a different kind of a story. But yeah, it's very possible that these people will have genuine healings and genuine manifestations like that. It is God, but it's not because of them. It's because he loved that people. Yeah. And grace. God is so full of, you have no idea, nor do I, how much he loves a soul and wants to save it from destruction. If he's got to use a scoundrel to get the gospel into you and get you to say, give your life to Jesus, he'll use a scoundrel. But that scoundrel will not be able to follow you into glory. Lord, we thank you for your word. It has the answers to all of our questions and the issues of life, whatever they might be. We may not know your word well enough to understand that, but it is a fact. Your word is our manual for living in relationships, in health issues, in everything, Lord. Oh, Lord, would you help us to want to study your word more, read your word. Make time for it. Lord, if we have to get up earlier or give up something in order to sit down and read your word more than we are now. And Lord, help us to walk around the block and talk to you. Once a day would be great. Oh, we don't have to walk around the block. We can get in our car and go for a drive. Lord, we don't have to get in our car and go for a drive. We can go into our bedroom and close the door. Lord, whatever works best for us, we should try to do so we can read your word and talk to you. Otherwise, we're not going to know the real from the counterfeit when it approaches us. Lord, help us, I pray. These, Lord, you love so very much. Lord, would you keep us strong and full of faith and growing stronger, I pray. Lord, would you bless us this next week on the job and at school and around the house as we all do the things that we need to be responsible before God for all you've given us. Lord, we all must be good stewards of what we have. Lord, even Brother NJ at 11 years old, he needs to be responsible for what God has given him and take good care of it and use it wisely. Lord, that goes for all of us in all of the things that you've given us and we have. Now, Lord, we bless you. We bless you in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.